Let's read together in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation 21. And I had something on my mind today that I thought I would speak on, but I had forgotten how much I like to hear Gary tell how he got saved. It's been a couple of years, Gary, I think, and there's been a piece of paper floating around in my Bible for about a year. I don't know when I wrote this or why I wrote this little scrap of paper with a couple of words on it. But I think it was there for this meeting tonight. So we're going to talk about my little scrap of paper at the end of the meeting. Revelation chapter 21. And I am going to read about heaven. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 22. Revelation 21 and verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, or no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And for those of you who are younger here tonight, that is that God the Father is there and the Lord Jesus is there. And this is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And verse 24 is very important. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in it, and walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. That means nothing dirty, not one speck, will enter into it. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination, that's wickedness, or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There are many things that a gospel preacher needs to try and accomplish. One of the things that we need to do is that we need to warn people about the very real danger of dying in their sins and being in hell. And I would not omit that from my preaching, nor would I preach with a man who omits that from his preaching. It's important. Because there is wrath, beware. But I also equally believe that the role of a gospel preacher is to encourage people to come to Christ and to be in heaven. And I want to just give a little encouragement. At the end of a very, very excellent testimony meeting, to encourage you to be where Mr. Sharp is going to be and where Mr. Shutt is going to be, because we're going to heaven and we want you to be there. You know, before I was a preacher, I taught Sunday school for a lot of years. I'll never forget a little girl named Angie who came to, I think John Dennison and I were sharing a Sunday school class back in Detroit. And there was a little girl named Angie, and she had come out for a couple of weeks. She was just a cute little blonde-haired little girl. I still can picture her in my mind, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And I remember one day at the end of the Sunday school class, I just got up, I prayed with the kids, and it was time to go upstairs and to go home. And I felt a little tug in the back of my jacket. I don't know what it was. And I turned around, and it was Angie standing there, tugging on my suit coat. And I said, what is it, honey? Do you need something? She said, I just have something I want to tell you. I said, well, sure, go ahead. What do you want to say? She said, I've decided that I don't want to be in heaven. How many of you here have ever been Sunday school teachers? Quite a few of you. You want something that will break your heart? Well, that pretty well does the trick. But, you know, I just stopped what I was doing and I sat down on a chair. And I just said to her, honey, why would you not want to be in heaven? And here's what I discovered, and I hope you'll understand the point of me telling this story. The reason she didn't want to be in heaven is because she had no idea what heaven was. And the little bit that she had heard from her family or whatever it was, she said, you know, it just sounds like a boring place for old people. And, you know, she had no idea of the fact that there are only two places in eternity. That people are either in heaven enjoying God's blessing eternally, or they are in hell and in the lake of fire beneath his judgment also eternally. She had no idea. And I can tell you that we very quickly took that idea out of her little mind that she didn't want to be in heaven. I hope you want to be in heaven tonight. You know, Gary gave out a hymn at the beginning of the meeting. I was a little bit upset with him when I thought about what I wanted to speak because he omitted one of the verses. Let me tell you what this verse says. If I could only tell how warm will be his welcome in that home whose matchless beauty can't be told. The Father's mansion stand by living waters and the trees of healing shade the streets of gold. Could I tell it? I would tell it. And I'd make sure that you made him yours today. I'm not criticizing what Gary did, but I'm telling you, I hope there are folks here tonight. And if you have never had this desire before, that God would quicken in your heart a great desire tonight to be in heaven. I just very quickly want to tell you three or four things about heaven tonight. And they're very simple things, but I think they are helpful in trying to explain the gospel. I want to speak, first of all, about the purity of heaven. You know, recently, in our home, I've lived in the same home for over 30 years, and you know what happens when you lived in a house for a long time. The carpets get old, and they get dirty, and, you know, no amount of shampooing and vacuuming will fix them up. And we needed to get some new carpet. We really did. And so my wife and I went down to the Home Depot store, and we picked out some very nice carpet. And since we don't have children anymore, and only my wife spills coffee, we decided to get some fairly light-colored carpet. But you know something? I thought it was a really good idea until we got it installed. And I discovered that my lovely bride, to whom I've been married to for 40 years, turned into a real grouch. No shoes, you know. Your feet are dirty. I don't think those socks look very clean, you know. And all of a sudden, she was deeply concerned about our new beautiful carpet. Why? Because she didn't want anything to defile it. She didn't want one speck of dirt on that carpet, much less the big mug of coffee that I like to come up with every morning. No, not allowed there. Nothing to make it dirty. You know, that's actually what we read about heaven. And I'm going to take you from a silly story about carpet and my wonderful bride, but I'm going to lift it to heaven, and I want you to listen to this word. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Let me just make a statement as simply as I know how. You and I cannot be in heaven with our sin. You know, there are a lot of requirements on earth that we kind of slide by. We hope that people are looking the other way and we go into places. Maybe it's after hours. Maybe, you know, the circumstances are such that you kind of just sneak around the rules and you just go in anyway. I want to tell you something. There will never be a single sin that is allowed in. You know, there's a reason for that. I wasn't really going to take time to do this, but really this is such an important point, I want to stop and just think about it for a second. You know, God, when he made this world, made it a very beautiful place. It was a place where there was no sin and no defilement and none of the wickedness and none of the lies that this verse is talking about. It was a gorgeous place, the Garden of Eden, where he placed our first parents. But you know, if we were to go out into the streets of Akron tonight, or Cleveland, or Detroit, or New York City, I want to tell you something, it's not a beautiful place. There's drugs and violence and all sorts of moral and sin, and our world is a wicked, and I'm not trying to scare people, but let's just be honest about it. It's a filthy, defiled world. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this. How did our world get from the beautiful place that God made for Adam and Eve to the Sodom and Gomorrah and the sewer of our world today? How did it get from there to here? I'll just tell you how. Because one sin came in. Oh, there's a lot of other ones that followed. Don't miss the point. But it went from that to this because of one sin. One single act of disobedience. And here's the point I'm trying to make. If God let one sin into heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven. It would be New York City. And nobody would want to be there. Everybody got that point? Very, very important. If heaven is a place to be desired, if heaven is to be a place of eternal blessing, if heaven is a place where God himself will dwell, then there cannot be one single sin in heaven. I want you all to look up here at me for a second. Because that's our greatest problem tonight. There's nobody here that has one sin. The problem is we have a whole great load of sins. And I'm not here to accuse you of sins that you haven't committed. I'm just here to bring to mind the fact, the sins that you have committed. And the fact of the matter is that most of us don't remember what 1% of the sins that we've ever committed. We have a burden of sin tonight, and the purity of that beautiful place called heaven means just this, that with our sin, we cannot be there. I not only want to think about the purity of heaven, but I want to think for a minute about the people of heaven. I'm not sure why I wrote them in this order, but that's the way it's written down here, so that's the order I'm going to preach on it. But I read something that was really remarkable. I read the fact that there are actually people in heaven. You know, if the Bible said that heaven is a perfect place, God lives there, and no sin can come in, and the only people that are there are God, that would make a lot of sense to me. You know what doesn't make sense to me? That God is there, and no sin can be there, and yet there are people there. Is everybody following me? Listen to what this says. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. I don't read a lot of fiction. There's too many true stories that intrigue me. But I must confess that once in a while, when I'm down in Florida on the beach, I read a book. It's the only way I can endure it. And I sometimes like to read a mystery. Well, to me, this strikes me as a great mystery. How is it that God, who is holy, and heaven, that is absolutely pure, how is it that people can be in heaven? Well, I'm so thankful that the Bible answers its own questions. By the way, if you have hard questions, turn to the Bible. The Bible has the answers to our deepest need. And this is what it says. There are people who are in heaven. And they are walking in the light of it. Do you know why they're there? Simply this. It's because they are saved. You know, I think that's just a wonderful thing. Mr. Sharp and I have been preaching this week all along, and it's a word we've used over and over and over again. It means to be rescued. It means to be forgiven. It means to have the burden of my sin lifted from me. Listen, if you are saved tonight, you can be sure that heaven is your home at the end of life. That's wonderful. I'm not looking forward to dying. Nobody wants to die, right? I mean, that isn't something I look forward to. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not afraid of death. Because for me, to die, which is the process, is not appealing to me. But I want to tell you that the outcome is very appealing to me, because it is to go from this world of sin and sickness and age and failure and sin and to step into that perfect world of heaven. How could that be? Just like this. It's people who are saved. People who have been cleaned from their sin, cleansed from their sin. People who have been forgiven. People who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are the people who are going to be in heaven. Let me ask you, are you going to be in heaven? Or maybe I should just say this. Have you ever had a moment when you've been saved? Because heaven isn't really the issue. The issue is whether you're saved or not. And everyone that's saved will be there. And I tell you, not one person that fails to be saved will ever step on the streets of that beautiful city. Let me just tell you about a third thing, and this lies at the very heart of the gospel. Because I want to talk about not only the purity of heaven and the people of heaven. I have a little line here on my paper that talks about what God did to prepare heaven for us. This is the story of the cross. Because we read this text. I didn't count how many times. Did we read it 2 or 3 times? But this is the home of the Lamb. I love that name for the Lord Jesus. You know, a lot of us have names, different names, sometimes nicknames. And there are names that we like and names that we don't like. I'm down to about 3 people in my life that still call me Danny. There's a couple of old ladies who live back in Michigan and they still call me Danny. I don't like that name because I went to school with a boy named Danny and he was the worst boy in the school. So I have a really negative feeling about that name. But really, I love it when those dear elderly ladies call me Danny. I get a big warm feeling in my heart when there's a lot of love between us. But you know, there are names that we do like. And I love this name of the Lord Jesus. He's the Lamb. I grew up on a farm. And while we didn't have sheep on our farm, the man who lived next to us, he had lots of sheep and lots of little lambs. And there's something just about a lamb that is so innocent, so pure, so harmless. If you can't find a warm spot in your heart for the idea of a lamb, then you need a new heart. You need a heart transplant, because lambs are lovely. And lambs draw out just something from our hearts. I want to tell you something. The Lamb of God draws out something from my heart. Back home in Detroit, we just were reading in the Bible study, the weekly Bible study. We were reading the words of John chapter 1. The words of John the Baptist when he saw the Lord Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you see how this fits into my message tonight? See, heaven is a pure place, and sin can't be there. And yet there are people who are there. How could God make that possible? I'll just tell you right now, if sin can be taken away, then you can be there, and so can I. Well, then the question comes, doesn't it? How can my sin be taken away? You know, I didn't do any math while Gary was talking. I don't know how long he struggled to find out how his sin could be taken away. I know that as a little boy, I was saved a couple of years after Gary in 1963. And, you know, I struggled for quite a long time. I knew what the problem was. I just couldn't figure out the solution. I just couldn't understand how my sin could be removed and how I could be right with God. I will never forget the night. I'll tell it some night and let you understand or hear the story of how I was saved, if God spares us. But I'll tell you what. The verse in John chapter 1 tells it as well as I'll ever tell it, and better. The Lamb of God. The Lamb who came to the cross the spotless, holy Lamb of God. God took him as a substitute for me. And my sin was laid on him. He stood in the very place that I should have stood. And the punishment that should have fallen squarely on me fell completely upon the Lord Jesus. And that's how he took my sin away. That's how the Lamb of God took my sin away. He suffered for me. And he carried my sin burden for me. And he died for me. And oh, by the way, we want to preach the whole gospel story. He was raised from the dead for me. And tonight there is a living Lamb of God in heaven. And people are there because the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Let me tell you about the last one. Time is gone. I'll just talk about this just for a minute. We've thought about the purity of heaven. I want you to get these points. I really want you to be able to remember them when you get home, and I want you to remember them tomorrow, and I want God to use them for your blessing. Remember the purity of heaven. There's no sin there. And I want you to think about the people of heaven. The amazing thing is that sinners actually are in heaven. How can that be? Well, because at the cross, God did something to prepare a way so that sinners could be there. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Let me just close by telling you about the possibility of being in heaven. We were on this point the other night. I'm coming right straight back to it again. I'm glad that I don't preach the gospel and look out into my audience and wonder if there are people who can be saved. I never think about that. Because this great salvation that God offers to you and me is for everybody. The real question tonight is not what God has done and what God has prepared and what God has provided. The real question is, are there going to be people who are going to receive it? There's a lovely hymn. I don't know all the words by heart. I know the chorus by heart. It was written by a lady named Marianne Kidder. She grew up in Boston back in the 1800s. And I only know by heart, at least, the chorus of a little hymn that I often think about. I used to preach with old men that quoted this. It's kind of fallen on hard times these days. But it just goes like this. Is my name written there? On the page, white and fair, in the book of the kingdom, is my name. It's saying, are you ready for heaven? Are you trusting in Christ? Are your sins all forgiven? Is your, as verse 27 says, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I hope tonight there'll be somebody, and when you go out of this little hall and you go home tonight, that within your soul there will be a desire quickened by God. Makes you want to be in heaven and understands that everything that is needed to make you ready to be in that place has all been done by the Lord Jesus. And every boy and every girl and every person in this meeting, every person who is depending on Him, can have everlasting life and have that glory. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for the preaching of the gospel. We thank Thee for our brother's testimony tonight and Your ways of grace with him working in his